Support for this show is brought to you by Nissan Kicks. It's never too late to try new things, and it's never too late to reinvent yourself. The all-new, reimagined Nissan Kicks is the city-sized crossover vehicle that's been completely revamped for urban adventure. From the design and styling to the performance, all the way to features like the Bose Personal Plus sound system, you can get closer to everything you love about city life in the all-new, reimagined Nissan Kicks. Learn more at www.nissanusa.com/2025-kicks. Available feature. Bose is a registered trademark of the Bose Corporation.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Procrastination. Putting it off. Kicking the can down the road. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm producer Rihanna Cruz.
It's the time to wrap up the year. And I feel like I've been seeing all of these social media posts of people saying, hey, you know, my streamer has told me this is what I'm listening to. And also some kind of conspiracies that maybe it's not as accurate as it seems, that like, I don't remember listening that much to that artist or that song.
I mean, Charlie, I hear you. You know, I've been saying since I got my Spotify Wrapped that my Spotify Wrapped is fake.
Whoa.
It's not real.
This is not my beautiful playlist.
It's wrong. And I know this because I have been independently tracking my own data, my own music listening, okay, through the service Last.fm.
Wait, so you're saying that like you've connected Last.fm to Spotify. Last.fm is counting all of your listens?
Yes.
And you are data tracking your listening off of the Spotify platform?
Yes, basically that.
Okay, and what's the discrepancy?
So every year when I get my Spotify Wrapped playlist, you know, my top 100 songs of the year, I like to cross-reference it with my data on Last.fm because I only use Spotify. It's the only platform I use. And I like to see if the data that Spotify is giving me matches up with my actual data. And this year, I've noticed some pretty obvious discrepancies between what Spotify tells me is my top songs and what my top songs actually are. So, for example, Spotify had told me that Peso Pluma's song Lady Gaga was my second most listened to song of the year.
No surprise, you love Peso Pluma. You love Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Exactly. Didn't really surprise me, right? But when I cross-referenced my Spotify data with my personal Last.fm data, Lady Gaga by Peso Pluma was actually my eighth most listened to song of the year.
Okay.
Twist.
And this was all the way down the playlist. My third most listened to song of the year in actuality sat at 32 on my Spotify playlist. And my seventh most listened to song of the year sat at 31.
So what's going on here, Rihanna? Like, why do you think Spotify might be juicing these numbers in favor of certain artists?
Well, I reached out to Spotify and they have not commented. So when they do, I'll be sure to let you guys know. But I think Spotify is pushing forward artists that fit a certain pop narrative for this year. You know, it told me Charlie XCX was one of my most listened to artists of the year. And I famously did not like Brat that much. So I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Not liking Brat, by the way, is a very Brat thing.
But I'm not the only one. Friend of the show, Brittany Luce, tweeted that her Spotify Wrapped was wrong as well, where two of her top five songs were from Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter album. And in her own words, she hadn't listened to that album in months and didn't play it a ton when it came out.
Rihanna, I'm really with you here because my own Wrapped, I just did not feel like represented me.
Yeah.
Now, my Spotify is weird because working as a music journalist, I'm listening to just like a chaos amount of music.
Right.
Number one, Charlie XCX. I do feel brat. Mm-hmm. I feel seen. That is true. Number two artist was the Beatles. Nothing's gonna change my world. Grew up listening to the Beatles. Love the Beatles. Don't listen that frequently. And it was my number two song. Supposedly I played Across the Universe 127 times this year.
What?
Which makes me think like someone has hacked into my Spotify account because I definitely have not listened to Across the Universe that many times. It was my wedding song. So it is an important song to me. Again, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe my family sharing is like screwing things up. But it didn't feel like what I was seeing was representing me. And even if all of these Spotify rap lists are accurate, that they are actually capturing the songs and artists we've listened to the most over the past year, it's not that interesting. There's more happening in music than just the top 10 artists. And what I really want to know is, what's great outside of the current pop canon, the Taylors and the Charlies and the Chapels of the world? And that brings me to today. I feel like there are so many sounds that started to emerge in 2024 that we may have missed on the show. And I expect to go way bigger in the year to come.
Nice.
And so I want to talk about the Swamp Princess, the Guitar Alchemist, and the most beloved varietal of wine. I'm talking Doechii, McGee, and Rosé. Wow. And I want to look at these artists' origin stories, their breakthrough moments and sound, and the future that they're building. Rihanna, do you want to kick us off with the ascent of Doechii?
Absolutely, Charlie. I love Doechii. She is from Tampa, Florida, hence the name Swamp Princess.
Great name.
And she originally came up through SoundCloud, as we see with a lot of rappers these days that are getting mainstream popularity. Her first song was released in 2015, and that song was called Girls. Dancing in the mirror, I'm whining. Calling my phone, I decline it. Yeah, you know I'm stingy with timing.
Watch how I flip and rewind. Fun.
Oh my goodness.
There's two things about that song that I think are really indicative of Doechii. One is her voice, and the other is her ability to have fun.
Yeah, it's very irreverent.
Yes, irreverent is such a good word. And speaking of irreverent, her debut project, Oh, the Places You'll Go, came out in 2020. And her song, Yucky Blucky Fruitcake, went viral the year after. Hi, my name's Doechii with two eyes. I feel anxious when I'm high. Teachers say I talk too much. Mama say I'm talking enough. I remember seeing that all over TikTok back in 2021. Like, people were using that for fit pics, for random videos, everything.
Yeah.
She's been around for a second. Her song, What It Is, even was a Billboard hit last year. But this year was her big breakout moment with her mixtape called Alligator Bites Never Heal. Great name, by the way.
Perfect for the Swamp Princess. I love the name Swamp Princess. Perfectly captures this duality of, you know, sort of bratty quality, the alligator, dangerous, fierce, swampy qualities, but also then like elegance as well. And Alligator Bites Never Heal is the perfect title for the Swamp Princess.
And keeping with the animal theme, you know, I mentioned earlier her voice. Something I love about Doechii is that she is a vocal chameleon, able to transform herself to fit many different styles of rap and emulate many different artists. Like, I've been getting into Lil' Kim lately, which is a whole sidebar, but she has Lil' Kim and Azealia Banks sensibilities on a song like Nissan Altima. Rates up, jigs up, put your dicks up, get your dicks up, put your motherfucking sticks up. They suck, that's tough, nigga, paint off, get your rates up for the motherfucking princess. But bullshit me, she freaky, kind of league as Dalai Lama, don't you cool it in a fan, but she get hotter than a sauna, take a trip out of Japan and I tsunami her vagina, wind it down a Benihana, I'm the new hip hop Madonna, I'm the new hip hop Madonna, I'm the trap Grace Jones, I don't know what type of mother. Whoa.
I mean, I'm the new hip hop Madonna. It's like we just dropped a Madonna miniseries. Everything is coming full circle.
It's all coming together. It's all coming together.
Time is a flat circle.
And like, Madonna has just so many ways of using her voice between the really aggressive, raunchy, fun chorus that she leads with, and then this wild flow, unbelievable rhythmic dexterity with her voice.
Something I really love about Doechii is how effortless it all feels. Mm. You know, like the opening lines of Nissan Altima have this internal rhyme scheme that she's pulling off incredibly well. You know, she's rhyming up, cup, sucked, makeup, fuck, bluff, tough, suck. Like, it's like these layered rhymes that also is bouncy. Wake up, eight cup, get your tits up in my makeup, face fuck, get your bake up, fake bluff, fake tough, niggas dick suck, put your six up for the motherfucking princess. It's fun and fresh and has, in addition to a rhythmic dexterity, a lyrical dexterity as well.
She's definitely the first person to ever connect the Dalai Lama to being hotter than Asana.
And also be Madonna, and also be Grace Jones, and also be Carrie Bradshaw. Like, it's all in her. Mm. And going back to the vocal chameleon thing, like, what she's doing on Nissan Altima sounds so different than what she's doing on a song like Boiled Peanuts. It's a sunny day. The gang's all here. No chip on my
shoulder.
And that sounds different from a song later on the tape, Slide. Dropping it down to Posey. Feel it away, I'm choosy.
Don't wanna go, I stay. Keeping me on all day. Wow, because we called this effortless, but it's so studied.
Drastically different styles on display here, but connected by her specificity of her language, her sort of meta commentary,
right?
Always breaking the fourth wall to sort of analyze what she's doing in front of you, and her gift for both being incredibly dexterous and then just like having wild abandon. In her NPR Tiny Desk concert, she starts the whole thing by blowing raspberries and saying, rappity rap, rappity rappity rap, in the song Boom Bop. Boom bap, rap rap, rappity rap rap, rappity rap, boom bap, bap bap bap. So there's always this like juxtaposition of being serious and deep and just being totally like devil may care.
Yeah, it's a very like cheeky representation of rap music as a whole. You know, she's performing it to the highest caliber, but she knows what she's doing and she knows what style of rap she's always emulating. You know, like boom bap obviously is the style of rap that was big in like the 90s, you know, where you're like rapping about hard things over a hard drum beat. You know, it's usually brought up in arguments that's like, man, I hate mumble rap. You know, we got to go back to the boom bap era. To all the killers and the $100 billers. Yo, watch out the phone.
For real, because who ain't got no feelings. Boom, bap, ba-da-boom, boom, bap.
And by opening her song where she's saying nonsense over the boom bap beat, you know, she's like, boom bap, boomity bap bap. It's really playing into this narrative of hip hop as a whole.
She knows her place in the lineage of hip hop, and she's doing something really refreshing, which is, I think, carrying on that history of narrative rap that certainly in the world of mumble rap has sort of taken a back seat. And part of, I think, what's so compelling about listening to her is when you get a song from Doechii like Denial is a River, where you start hearing these multiple stories unfolding where she's using different voices to play different characters. It's so compelling. Fast forward me, 2023. I'm stacking lots of cheese and making money. My grass is really green and honestly, I can't even fucking cap no more. This is a really dark time for me. I'm going through a lot.
By a lot, you mean drugs? Drugs?
No. It's a natural plant.
Oh my goodness.
It's like Children's Story by Slick Rick, but for a new generation.
Totally.
You kids get to bed, I get the storybook.
We just broke down Kendrick's album GNX on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of shades of that multi-perspectival approach to rapping here, and I can't get enough. So Doechii's having this moment, but I don't know, what's next for this artist, Rihanna?
Well, she's nominated for 3 separate Grammys, including Best New Artist, and I think she has a pretty good shot, but I think she's really pushing new ground in hip-hop by kind of satirizing hip hop. And I think we're going to see a lot more of her in 2025. The project she put out this year, Alligator Bites Never Heal, is a mixtape, right? So when she puts out a full debut record, I really think it's going to be the moment.
Cool. All right, let's travel from Florida up to New Jersey. We've got a new boss in town who we're going to hear from right after the break.
sitting quietly once you've made the house all shiny. Ooh. Downtime can be just fine playing bangers from the 90s. Tea break, lunch break, ooh, maybe listen to the ad break. Sometimes it's not time for some tombola, right? It's enjoying lasagna time, chilling with a book time, or time to visit your nan time. Go on, play some other time. Put your phone down. Tombola. Open for fun. Terms apply. 18 plus. Gambleaware.org.
You're okay, you're okay.
Wolves and dogs are pretty closely related. They actually share 99.9% of their genetics. But even when they're just a few months old, even when they're raised by human scientists, wolves are pretty different from dogs.
They start biting you in the ears when you're lying down if you don't sit up fast enough. And you hear this wonderful noise, this little... And then they chomp you in the ear and you're like, oh!
And when they grow up, these differences get even bigger. Dogs are our friends. Wolves are hunters.
If I had a sore shoulder, I wouldn't go in with the adult wolves, even if I'd raised them, because it could trigger their hunting behavior.
This week on Unexplainable, how did we get the nice, friendly dogs we know and love today from wolves? Follow Unexplainable wherever you listen for new episodes every Wednesday.
Okay, big reveal.
Here we go.
Oh. Wow.
You guys kind of get a first look at a completely removed cop co number one. This is an area where there was not river sounds for over 100 years.
On this week's episode of Gastropod, we are telling a super exciting story about a river, but actually about fish.
And in terms of fish, it's actually about one particular fish, about salmon. But it's really about something that's incredibly exciting that will help salmon. It's about the world's largest dam removal project ever.
That's right. This episode, we are going to the Klamath River on the California-Oregon border. It was once one of the world's great salmon rivers. We wanted to see what happens when you take a river away from salmon and how to go about giving it back.
Find Gastropod and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Amongst the beautiful green fields and produce and the clover-shaped interchanges of New Jersey.
It's called the Parkway.
There is a new guitar god emerging. His name is McGee. So are you looking up? Yes, you are. If you wanna go, then maybe go wild.
McGee, spelled capital M, lowercase k, period G-E-E, born Michael Gordon in the aforementioned great state of New Jersey, is, like Dochi, having a moment in 2024. Also like Dochi, McGee has a great origin story. First, he goes west to none other than the USC Thornton School of Music.
Wow.
Where he crosses paths with a certain music history professor who we know and love, Professor Sloan.
Wow.
Wow.
And it's there in the first class that Sloan ever taught at USC, History of Pop, that Mike Gordon has a profound revelation.
What's that?
That he needs to drop out.
Oh. Wait, it's your fault that we have McGee?
So I can't, you know, determine the exact causal relationship here, but yeah. I can say that he takes my class and then promptly drops out of music school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Following a time-honored tradition of people like King Princess, for instance, dropping out of the Thornton School of Music. Music school isn't for everyone.
That's fine.
And that's great.
Yeah.
McGee at this point already has a sound that he's refining and articulating and developing. Mm. And he's going to pursue that on his own. He releases an EP in 2017 that answers the first question that many people ask when they see this artist. It's called Pronounced McGee, spelled M-C-G-E-E. And he showcases the sound that really stands out in the contemporary music landscape. A landscape that I would describe as being kind of maximalist and in your face. His sound is a little withdrawn, a little sparse, a little enigmatic. And you can hear it on a track like I Know How You Got.
It's like vaporwave Hall & Oates.
McGee continues to release music, but it's in 2021 that his star gets another bump when he collaborates with the artist Dijon, and they release some live videos of them collaborating together that get millions of views on YouTube. Let's listen to a little bit of that teamwork in the form of the song Big Mics.
I might drop to my knees, Joanna, please. Will you take me? Will you take me? I might drop to my knees, Joanna, please. Will you take me?
There's a little bit of soul, a little bit of rock, and a lot of bedroom pop.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, all these tracks we've listened to were produced in McGee or someone else's home, including the album that will become his breakthrough this year, 2024, Two Star and the Dream Police, all recorded at home. And this album refines his sound a little bit, putting even more at the forefront his distinctive approach to the guitar, which we can hear on the track that we kicked off this discussion with, Are You Looking Up?
Is strange, man.
I'm not a guitarist, but there's some familiar things here. A certain 80s feel, maybe through a chorus effect on the guitar. There's some maybe muting of the strings,
yeah,
which reminds me of bands like The Police. But then there are other factors here that I can't put my finger on. There's like distortion that comes in and out at odd moments. There's this kind of effect where the guitar seems closer and more distant. Some of the notes are so staccato, they have almost no decay whatsoever. It's familiar and yet kind of disorienting.
I feel like this is why he's so celebrated right now as a guitarist. The guitar has been the mainstay instrument of rock-oriented music for 75 years, longer maybe. And it's so rare that someone comes along and is able to find a distinctively new voice. I've never heard anyone exactly like McGee, even though I can hear some of these references. A lot of it, I think, is in this very lo-fi, at-home, bedroom-type approach to recording. Like, he's not trying to get the tone of a guitar god. He's getting a sound which is very lo-fi. It's not refined. It's very messy. Feels like what it feels like to record in your bedroom. And yet, I think it actually is a very practiced sort of sound. Like, this is a very deliberate tone.
This tone has earned him praise from guitar gods like John Mayer and Eric Clapton. But y'all, we have our own guitar god right here at Switched On Pop HQ.
Wow.
Hardly.
Charlie Harding.
Yeah.
Can you whip out a Strat or a hollow body and like help illuminate what's happening in this McGee guitar tone for us?
I've got an axe right here.
Conveniently placed.
An axe. That's a thing that cool people say, Rihanna. Okay.
Got it.
Never say, you don't say guitar. That's ugh.
No.
Okay. So the thing is, like, most guitar tones that are going to feature, you know, a classic Stratocaster, they're going to need the perfect amplifier. And the amplifier is kind of like, to the electric guitar, what the entire resonating body of the acoustic guitar is. Like, an electric guitar by itself doesn't sound like anything. It's utterly boring and drab. You know, you get like a, like, there's nothing there.
Yes.
So typically you get like a, you know, a nice good amp tone. But McGee doesn't go for the nice sounding guitar amp. Instead, he goes for this, what you'd call a direct sound, where you plug the guitar directly into your audio interface. And it frankly sounds kind of like plucky, dead. There's no sustain to it. It sounds really uninteresting. It's just kind of not very lively. But then he adds a ton of effects. A little bit of distortion, a little bit of chorus, a little bit of EQ, and it gets more interesting.
Nice.
Right?
Okay, starting to get a little closer to McGee.
McGee-ish. Admittedly, McGee has a lot of different guitar tones that he uses, but the one that stands out most to me is he has this way of defying physics. When he plays louder, it's like he sends his guitar into the stratosphere. He's playing quietly. Nothing particularly interesting, but then he hits a note hard. Sometimes the guitar is close up and other times it's far away and distorted depending on how hard he's hitting it.
Wow.
He's using all kinds of interesting processing, like a gated reverb into a distortion box, and it just sounds otherworldly. It feels like it's hard to comprehend, which is fitting because, frankly, most of his lyrics are mumbled. The music is lo-fi. Everything is a little bit hard to discern, including his guitar tone.
Yeah, I love McGee, but it took me maybe a dozen listens to get into him because I kept listening to his album over and over and was like, what is he saying? What is going on here? Maybe I can connect to anything that'll get it to click with me. And I think that ability to be incomprehensible is his strong suit. You know, you can't really discern anything. And it doesn't really have a place in the modern pop canon. Like, it's so different than everything that we have.
Which is wild because we've referenced things like Hall & Oates, The Police.
Right. I think it sounds like Peter Gabriel to me. In your eyes, the light, the heat, your
eyes, I am complete, your eyes, see the doorway. Peter Gabriel, but as if like sent through a transistor radio across time and space.
Right.
I feel like though this unintelligibility of McGee is a big part of his artistic statement. Like, it's actually embedded in his lyrics and what he's sorting out in his songwriting, like on the song Elysis. You have the characteristic lo-fi, difficult to comprehend guitar tone. Everything is kind of washed out and spacey, but he's singing about, I'm in another body who's in somebody else, feeling headless and heartless, confused, uncertain about identity, falling into someone else's body in order to try to find one's own being. The feeling of being lost and confused is what the music is about, is the sound that he's creating.
Which I feel like is ironic because Elysis is the clearest we can hear his voice over the course of the album. Like, this is the song where I could discern the lyrics the most.
Well, I do accept your description of this music as unintelligible. Mm. I will push back a little bit because I do hear a lot of really catchy melodies in McGee's music. And if we can pivot to the future of this artist, I think that will be the thing that gets him even more mainstream acceptance, his ability to write a hook.
Mm.
And this came up in a really funny way this year, because back in May, Rihanna and I went to Conway Studios in Hollywood and interviewed the piano virtuoso Charlie Puth.
Mm.
And in a wide-ranging conversation, he dropped in a little McGee nugget about the song Candy.
Do you know McGee?
Sure.
Candy?
Yeah.
It's just pedaling on the D.
So you're saying that Charlie Puth is saying that McGee should be a bigger artist?
That should have been the title of that episode, frankly.
And I'm saying if a consummate hook writer like Charlie Puth is looking towards McGee as a source of inspiration, that we might see this artist achieve even a higher degree of success in 2025.
So you're giving him an A+, even though he dropped out of your school?
Yes. Mike, wherever you are, I've got an honorary degree waiting for you.
Are you allowed to just issue those? I think you need a larger committee to support you on
that. I've got my printer right here. I've got the USC letterhead on my computer. You want one?
This sounds fraudulent.
All right, so there's my case for McGee as another artist not to miss in 2024. But Charlie, you've got your wine varietal promise here that you made at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. Take us to our final artist. Okay, so we got to talk about Rosé. Rosé, people might know as the main vocalist and lead dancer of the K-pop idol group Blackpink.
Mm.
But before she was Rosé, she was Roseanne Park, nicknamed Rosie. Born in 1997 in Auckland, New Zealand, to Korean immigrant parents. And as a teenager, her father encourages her to audition for YG Entertainment, one of the big K-pop entertainment groups. She tries out in 2012, and she's number one among 700 other people trying out.
Wow.
So she moves to South Korea at 16 to start training for 4 years. And she kind of gets in the game relatively late. Like, often people start training to be in K-pop idol groups way younger, but she is a standout. And she's made a member of the group Blackpink, which really helps shape the third generation of K-pop. They have huge hits like 2016's Boombayah. Boombayah. 2019's Kill This Love. Let's kill this love. Yeah, 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 yeah. 2020's How You Like That. How you like that? Oh. You gonna like that? Da, 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 da. And 2022's Pink Venom. I bring the pain like this.
Pink Venom, we've covered on the show before.
We have indeed. It's been a little while since we've spent time with Blackpink. They blew up all over the world, including in the United States, when they headlined Coachella. Rosé, though, has also been working on developing a solo career. In 2021, she put out a solo EP simply titled R. It set the record for the highest first week sales by a Korean soloist. It also was part of what helped her sign a global solo deal with Atlantic Records. This is a big deal. Blackpink is with YG Entertainment in Korea, but she has her own solo deal with Atlantic Records in the United States. And this is where I think her breakthrough moment is happening. She recently released her debut solo album, Rosie, aiming to showcase a more personal side of herself in her music, with tracks like Number One Girl, Toxic Till the End, and her breakout hit, Apata, or APT. It's how you say apartment in Korean.
Oh, we're hearing so much in that, Charlie. I can't wait for you to unpack it.
Yeah, my first impression, I was like, I am hearing this whole lineage of music going back to 2014 and Taylor Swift's Shake It Off. Back to Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend in 2007. Calls back to Tony Basil's Hey Mickey from 1982. It's a drum beat that was heard in 1976 with Tom Petty's American Girl. It potentially takes us all the way back to 1955 with the famous Bo Diddley beat by Bo Diddley.
I don't think anybody's ever mentioned Bo Diddley and Rosé from Blackpink in the same sentence.
Rihanna, how appropriate is that, though? Because the song Apata takes this American abbreviation and turns it into a brand new Korean neologism in the same way that musically the song takes this American / Caribbean rhythm and translates it into this effusive K-pop bop with Bruno Mars. There's a similar kind of translation happening.
And it's fitting for the song because I feel like, especially when we hear that drum beat through maybe like a Hey Mickey or a Girlfriend, it has this very playful sort of vibe, which connects directly to the song because Apata is also this Korean hand game, kind of like rock, paper, scissors. I don't totally understand it. So she is writing a song about this game, Apata, but also making a double entendre that's like, hey, come back to my apartment. Let's have some fun. And this is significant. It might seem kind of tame to some American listeners, but for K-pop idol fans, there's so much more going on here. Because if you're in a K-pop group, you usually have a concept connected to your artisthood. Like Blackpink are known for their concept Girl Crush, which is like fierce and independent, cool, like don't mess with us. Occasionally, a group will go through a concept evolution over a course of album cycles.
Rosé's concept here on Rosie is like the exact opposite of Girl Crush. Mm. Sort of throwing out this whole idea and saying, hey, I'm going to put out a project with my own given name. It's going to be about personal revelations. I'm going to strip away all of the baggage of what it means to be in a label-backed girl group where you are expected to maintain really this overall concept and also be this person who plays being both available and simultaneously unavailable all at the same time to maintain the parasocial relationship with fans. She's taking that very polished, high-octane, performative K-pop idol identity and subverting it by using storytelling techniques from Western pop music that help peel back the layers of who she is to make a more intimate record. And we get that from the very first verse in Apata. Kissy face, sent to your phone, but I'm trying to kiss your lips for real. Okay, kissy face, sent to your phone, right? Emojis, like whatever.
That's a quote from Love's Labor's Lost, I believe.
Excuse me?
Oh, okay, sorry, misremembering.
It reads like maybe text message exchanges. Oh, kissy face emoji. But to say I'm trying to kiss your lips for real is actually fairly transgressive. Like, as a K-pop idol, you can actually be penalized if you are seen to be dating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There are major scandals that can seriously hurt your career if you say like, hey, not only have I been dating somebody, but I broke up with them. I have both been available and unavailable in a way that I'm not supposed to be. This is transgressive. Wow. Maybe you can wink and nod to sexual intimacy, but to say like, red hearts, come give me something I can feel, like come up to my apartment and we can have fun. Like, you're not supposed to talk about that.
Mm.
And so depending on the kind of listener you are, you might experience this song totally differently. I'm talking, drink this, smoke free, party all night.
Gumbay, go, what's up? Wow, Bruno Mars is kind of laying it all out there. He's doing the hard work so Rosé doesn't have to.
Yeah, we're going to drink, dance, smoke, freak, party all night. It sounds like a silly, fun pop song, but it is a real coming out for a K-pop idol star. And it is a major hit. This song broke records. It made Rosé the first female Korean artist to top the Spotify US chart. It also notably is the only song on her record that really features any Korean language. The majority of this project is in English, and she's clearly demonstrated that she has a global appeal. And part of her approach is using the language of Western pop and sort of more intimate styles, even if it's party music, from American pop songwriting in a way that reveals parts of her identity that wouldn't necessarily be safe to do within the context of a K-pop idol group.
Wow.
So I think with this huge hit with Bruno Mars, Rosé has established, hey, I am a force to be reckoned with. I expect future projects to go even further. And I think we're going to hear a lot more of Rosé's voice.
Well, in some ways, we've come a long way from Rihanna's Spotify Wrapped exposed conspiracy theory that kicked off this episode. But I do like the connections we've made because all of these artists have kind of bubbled up in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them were already members of well-established superstar K-pop groups.
Mm-hmm.
Others were making bedroom pop. Others were emerging from the swamps of Tampa, seemingly fully formed. And each is a reminder that the music world moves in mysterious ways. And this, my friends, leads me to one more conspiracy theory that I'll just drop in our collective laps before we all say goodbye for the holidays. Rihanna, you questioned the veracity of Spotify Wrapped.
Mm.
I'm here to question whether Spotify is stealing my voice for their AI Wrapped podcast, because three separate people have emailed us saying something weird is going on. Spotify is making an AI rap podcast and it sounds exactly like musicologist Nate Sloan from Switched on Pop.
Wow.
I have not heard this. I don't think you have either.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Can we listen to this and see what's going on? And, you know, I'll start, depending on what we hear, I'll start speed dialing my lawyers.
Here, okay, your Wrapped AI podcast. Here, I'll just play it to you over the mic.
Hello from Google's Notebook LM. We're here to unwrap your 2024 Spotify.
Okay, that's not me.
Let's go.
Your year in music, it's a story waiting to be told. And wow, 28,408 minutes on Spotify, that puts you, you know, way up there.
Top 12% of listeners globally. That is some serious dedication to the soundtrack of your life.
It really is. And speaking of soundtracks, let's dive into the song that defined your 2024.
The one you played on repeat. The one you couldn't get enough of.
Wow.
The one you played on repeat. the one you couldn't get enough of.
Nate, that really does sound like you.
Y'all, do we have a case here?
I mean, it's not just Spotify. That's Google LM. Like, that sounds like Nate Sloan. Who's wow. trained your voice? Have you given permission? What's going on here?
I have not. Mm. And I think we got to take this straight to the top. You know, Supreme Court, landmark decision,
mm-hmm.
Google v. Sloan. Let's do this, folks.
Forget it, Nate. It's Spotify.
You've already lost. You don't stand a chance.
Love a Chinatown reference, Rihanna.
This podcast has been effectively shadow banned from the entire internet.
It's okay. Google will just make it for us.
Switch on Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, illustrations by Horace Gottlieb. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network and a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. Subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
Find us on the socials at Switched on Pop and tell us what you've been listening to in 2024. We just had a smattering of artists, but there's so much more incredible music that emerged this year. And we want to hear about what's on your quote-unquote Spotify Wrapped and what's in your eardrums.
I also want to know if your Spotify Wrapped is as off
yes.
as mine is.
For real.
Unfortunately, I cannot claim that mine is inaccurate because my top song is Jeremy Irons as Scar the Lion singing Be Prepared from the Lion King soundtrack.
It's kind and that of is a banger, though. Kind
100%
of
100% accurate. Oh, it bangs.
We'll be back again next week. Nate, you say that your voice has been manipulated and taken by somebody else. Well, I've got a story for you about how people's voices have fundamentally been altered in the sound of autotune. We'll be sharing that next week alongside the Verge cast. And until then, thanks for listening.
And subscribe to the newsletter.
Oh, yeah, that too. Listen and subscribe.
Yeah.
And shadow banned.